Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Well, good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Harry. You know, we've already done this once this morning, but the last 4 or 5 minutes didn't record, so it must have been really, really good and create a disturbance in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. So here we go. In Matthew 19, Jesus told a rich young ruler to sell all he had. When the young ruler could not give up his wealth, he proved he was not in control of his riches. Instead, his riches controlled him. Don't think for a moment that his money did not hurt him. It literally cost him his soul. His biggest problem was he didn't understand there's a world system of wealth accumulation, and then there's God's system of wealth accumulation. You see, this rich young ruler did not understand the difference, so he based his decision on a lack of understanding about what the Word of God really says about money. Ecclesiastes 5:10, Classic Amplified Bible. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. He who loves money, let me say it again. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with his gain. This too is vanity, emptiness. Money has the potential to harm us if we cannot control it. If we can't control it in accordance with God's will for our lives, we're in danger when it begins to rule us, instead of us ruling it. Begin to view money as any other tool you have available for your use. How you use that tool will determine whether or not it does harm or good. Gasoline, electricity, guns, cars, explosives, nuclear power, airplanes, computers, money. All these tools can improve the quality of a person's life. However, all of them can cause severe harm when misused or out of control. Their blessing or harm to our lives is determined by whether or not they're operated under God's direction and control. Money itself never guarantees happiness. If money guaranteed happiness, all the rich folks would be marvelously happy, and all the poor folks would be miserably sad. We know this. This is not the cause. Real people, rich people, commit suicide. Rich people visit psychiatrists to treat their depression. Rich people deal with unhappy issues such as divorce, alcoholism, drug addiction, and even financial problems. Many rich people spend the early part of their lives in misery, trying to accumulate their fortunes. Then they spend the latter part of their lives in misery trying to hold on to the fortunes they've accumulated. Money simply does not guarantee happiness. True happiness and lasting peace come through a proper relationship with Jesus. When your relationship with God is right, your money will not cause you problems and unhappiness. Instead, it'll be a blessing and a source of happiness for you and others around you. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it." God will not harm you by multiplying money back to you. When you have the right heart and spirit in giving your money to God, He will grant you riches. Although your God-given wealth will not guarantee your happiness, God does promise riches. Well, He promised riches that will not bring you sorrow. You see, righteousness, peace, and joy are found in God, not money. And as I've always said, don't chase money, chase God. And then money will chase you. Here are 7 things about money, ways that you can get it. First, you can earn it. Ecclesiastes 3:22, New Living Translation. Saul, there's nothing better for people than to be happy in their work. This is why we're here. No one will bring us back from the death to enjoy life after we die. It's a great scripture. When we work for an employer for 40 hours a week, we're trading our time, which is our life, for a paycheck. That's why God wants us to be happy, to find enjoyment in earning our money. Ecclesiastes 5:18, Classic Amplified. Behold, here's what I've seen to be good and fitting, to eat and drink, and to find enjoyment in all the labor which he labors under the sun, during the few days of his life which God gives him. For this is his allotted reward. So first, you earn it. Second, you can inherit it. Have you ever seen a movie or a TV program where the relatives have gathered for reading of the last will and testament of a loved one? Depending on the storyline or plot, some relatives are happy and some aren't. When we delight in the Lord, he'll give us honor beyond our previous experience and expectation. Not only that, he's going to satisfy us with our inheritance. Isaiah 58:14, New Living Translation. Then the Lord will be your delight. Hallelujah. Then the Lord will be your delight. I'll give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. If you have an uncle who remembered you in his will, but he was broke, that's one thing. But if the creator of heaven and earth and all that is in it or on it gives you an inheritance, that's totally something different. I'd say it for no other reason. There are plenty of good ones. It makes great sense, and there are plenty of good other reasons. But just for that one, it makes good sense to delight yourself in the Lord. Earthly inheritance can be nice, but our heavenly inheritance is something else. And praise God, it's not just for the sweet by and by. So first, earn it. Second, inherit it. Third, you can steal money. But stealing money should never be an option for several very good reasons. Number one, it's a sin. Number two, when you get caught, you go to jail. Number three, whether you get caught or not, if you don't repent, you're going to hell, jail or hell. Number four, you're the devil. The devil, let me say it this way. The devil will owe you. He'll owe you when he's identified as a thief, and you'll get a sevenfold restoration that's talked about in Proverbs 6:31. Earn it, inherit it, steal it. Fourth way to get money is you can save it. Way too many people don't save money because they don't think they have a large enough amount to have an impact. Do not become hesitant or discouraged if the amount of money you can save each month is seemingly insignificant. It's important to start where you are with what you got. I don't remember the source, but some years ago I read a story about a pastor who never made more than $8,000 a year. But at age 80, he had an estate valued at $1,633,000. How did he do it? He did it with compound interest. Compound interest on the money he saved. Albert Einstein called compound interest the greatest invention of all time. Compound interest is the fertilizer of tiny seeds that you save. It's important that you start where you are with what you've got and let God do the rest. Hallelujah. Earn it, inherit it, steal it, save it. Fifth way you get money, the other thing about money is you can spend it. Proverbs 21:20, Living Bible. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Why do so many good people, born-again Christian people, have trouble controlling their spending? Compulsive spending is a Well, it's a common substitute for temporary happiness. Due to pressures at home, generally financial in nature, or conflicts on the job, many people spend money as a diversion to make them feel good. But make no mistake, spending money that you don't have, it may bring you a momentary high, but watch out, because you got a financial hangover coming that'll be around sometimes for years. Spending money you don't have will not ease the pain of loneliness and rejection. Only trusting in God and His Word can bring the changes necessary for that kind of peace and well-being. Six, you can invest it. You can invest it. Ecclesiastes 3:1, Message Bible. There's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on the earth. Before investing, I recommend you have all your high-interest credit card and consumer loans pay off. These strategies alone will get you a return of 12 to 24%, depending on the interest rate. It only makes sense that if you're investing money at, say, even 12%, which would be very good, but you're losing it at 18% on a credit card, puts you in a losing position. Strongly recommend that you have the equivalent of 1 month's income in your checking account before you do this. Maybe I'll do a teaching on investing some other time. And seventh, use of money, you can sow it. It's important for each of us to understand that the devil will use fear and doubt to keep us from doing the one thing that can turn around our finances. The devil will try to convince us that we don't have the money to sow because times are tough. Kingdom giving is the one and only thing that offers a guaranteed return that will never fail. Ecclesiastes 11:1, Message Bible. Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Psalm 126:5-6. Psalm 126:5-6 in the Message Bible. So those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest. Those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessings. Did you hear that? Armloads of blessings. Can somebody say hallelujah? What's the first thing we should do when we're broke? We need a financial miracle. So. Think about all these. Earn it, inherit it, steal it, save it, spend it, invest it, sow it. Sowing will bring you the highest return. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHearing.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. While you're there, if you've been blessed by the teaching, up at the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says, so we'll ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you, happy trails, and keep thinking rich thoughts.